Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast Podcast.
Well, even though Halloween is over, we still have a few trick-or-treats left for you guys. Hey, this is Big Wes, and I'm not sure which category I fall in, a trick or a treat, but it's my supreme pleasure to bring you this edition of Forest Fancast. Our usual host, Mark, is off helping recount the votes from our presidential election, so I'm going to do my best to fill in for him. Today, I'm joined on this episode. Now, this is a treat for me. I'm joined on this episode by James and Holly. Looking forward to breaking down the few matches that we just finished playing and looking forward to a couple of other matches. And hope you guys will bear with me as I make my way through this episode. So let's start off by saying hello to my co-host, James. How you doing today?
I'm very well, Wes. It's a real honor to be back on Forest Fancast again, and an honor to meet you actually for the first time, because I've heard your voice on so many episodes. I've heard the name Big Wes mentioned on so many occasions as well. So it's good to finally meet you.
Ah, thanks, mate. It is absolutely my pleasure. Looking forward to chatting with you today. And Holly, we meet again.
How you doing, Wes? How's it
great,
going?
Great, thank you. How are you today?
Really, really good. I thought I would be slightly topical with my background today. I've got my friend, Mr. Lehigh. Obviously, you can't see that on the pod, but I thought in honor of our US friends and yes, the US podcast, and I thought that would...
Love it. Great. Thank you. So we'll jump right into it. So today we're going to give, I'm going to give you a couple of updates, just some anecdotes to get us started in our Forest for the Trees section. And then we'll dive right into the Middlesbrough. We'll talk about the Coventry City game and the Wickham game. Fortunately, like Meatloaf says in his song, right? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So we'll break down those games, give you a little bit about those, and again, talk a little bit about what we see coming up. So as far as Forest for the Trees, and a couple of updates, one thing that I found really surprising, and I really want to get you guys' input on this. I was reading a little while ago that Chris Hewden actually moved the bench configuration back from where Sabri Lamouchi had it moved during his tenure, right? So I was surprised that bosses had even that ability, right, to move benches around to there. And I guess, you know, you want to get the best vantage point for where you stand. Kind of makes sense, but it was a bit of a shock to me when I read that Chris Hewden decided he wanted to move the benches back to the traditional place that they existed, whereas Lamouchi had decided he wanted to do something slightly different. And so what I wanted to hear from you guys who are seasoned veterans at this is this a normal thing? Have you guys heard of bosses moving benches around, or is this something that's a little bit rare for us?
Well, I think it shows more than anything. It shows Chris Hewden is getting to work straight away at Forest, which I think is probably the most important thing to take from it. I think it's quite easy when a new manager comes in to kind of leave all the big work and the heavy lifting, shall we say, till, you know, next summer when he's, you know, got his feet under the table, essentially, and he's got accustomed to life at Forest. But the fact that he's making moves like that suggests that he's getting to work straight away. And I think that can only be a positive thing for Forest, that he's trying to change things behind the scenes as well as things on it, which I think is a really, really good thing.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. It, like I said, it was just a bit of a shock that to read that he was, you know, at that level of detail. But I think it does show a real connection to the ground and the team for him. Pretty good stuff. And speaking of construction, the other tidbit that I like to pass along is, I don't know if you guys heard, there was another delay in the final decision on the construction for City Ground, or the reconstruction, I should say. You know, there's plans to increase the number of seating, of course, but then also add some residential units to City Ground, which I found interesting. We touched on that in one of our previous episodes, but also there's talk about adding a museum and moving the club shop to this overall setup. And I think, Holly, we talked about buying some property on one of our last talks together, right when the residentials come out. But just wanted to get your thoughts, Holly, on the delay, because there's not much you could do about that. But what do you think about, you know, the way this is shaping up big time with residential units, with a museum, and now perhaps a club shop?
Yeah, I mean, I know you were saying you were saving for that apartment looking over the train.
That's right.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, I'm a bit gutted actually that the plans have been put on hold at the moment, because with COVID and nobody being allowed into the ground, it would have been a perfect time to kind of start the renovations and the development. But I'm all for it. I can't wait. The thought of having a forest museum. I mean, we've got two beautiful cups to put in it, haven't we? Let's face it.
Yeah, definitely.
And, just bags and bags of history. And I don't know whether you guys have ever been to any of the museums in sort of the Premier League setups, like Arsenal or Chelsea or whatever, but these grandiose kind of museums that you have an entire tour. I know we have the tours and stuff at Forest, but just really kind of showcasing the tradition and the history, of which I think is completely celebrated at Forest. So really looking forward to seeing that. And the possibility, I think the Miracle Men gates as well. Do you remember those being mentioned a good while ago? If they could, you know, they could happen as well, that would be fantastic. Yeah, there's a real potential, isn't there? Once we can all get back into the stadiums and potentially be in the Premier League. I mean, it's mouthwatering, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Great. Well, yeah, same here. I'm looking forward to look at towards the end of this, right, the increased capacity. Looking forward just to seeing the overall plans that they're there. So we'll keep our eye on that and see how that progresses. All right, great. Thanks, guys. So want to jump right into it now without further ado and get to our kickabout, right? Talk about let's go over the last three matches we played. So on October 31st, we lost to Middlesbrough 1-0. On November 4th, we beat Coventry City 2-1. And most recently on November 7th, we took Wickham to Wickham. And I always want to say, well, I don't know why, whenever I look at this word, for some reason, my brain wants to say Wickham instead of Wickham. So I have to slow down and make sure I say this correctly, right? We took Wickham 2-0. So want to just talk through those games with you. I had some interesting finds from the Wickham game, but we're going to start with the Middlesbrough game. And James, you want to give us a bit of your takes from the game, maybe what you thought about any of the decisions that were made, any of the formations you saw. What did you think about that game?
Well, firstly, it feels like quite a long time ago, the Middlesbrough game now, because two Forest wins, it kind of takes you to a dreamland, essentially, and you kind of forget about the negativity that came in the games before that. Yeah. Going into the Middlesbrough game, I mean, we spoke about it. Spoke about it with a couple of Forest fans on our podcast and on previews. That we kind of viewed that as a bit of a defining game for Forest this season, in the sense that it was Chris Hughton going up against another promotion specialist in Neil Warnock at Middlesbrough, a side that probably, I'm not sure the top six material, but are going to be probably knocking on the door this season, such as Warnock's pedigree in the division. So we kind of saw it as a defining game for Forest, in the sense that if they could go there and get 3 points, then the possibilities of the top six could still happen, I think. The momentum that would give the Reds would be huge. And the game itself, it was a bit of a nothing game, essentially, especially from a Forest point of view. The Reds didn't impose themselves on the game at all, really. I think Middlesbrough had the vast majority of chances, particularly in the first half, a couple of real lapses in defensive concentration let Middlesbrough in. There was a poor goal kick from Bree Samba, which was nearly punished. There was a bad back pass from Ryan Yates. So Forest weren't really at the races in the first half. The second half, there was a bit of an improvement at the start. Forest forged a couple of half chances, but not really a great deal. And I think when Middlesbrough did get their goal, which courtesy of a brilliant cross by George Saville, I must say, I mean, it's not brilliant defending by Cyrus Christie at the back post, but it's a good piece of play nonetheless. I don't think Forest could have complained a great deal. I think the most that performance deserved was probably a 0-0. But yeah, it was a disappointing performance, mainly because of my first point, in the sense that if Forest had won that, it would have been a real catalyst and a real springboard for them. And I think at full time, a lot of Forest fans' reaction was, we're going to have to get used to this. It's going to be a season of mediocrity, and perhaps those big ambitions we had at the start, they're not going to be fulfilled this year.
Yeah, it's a great point. I was left thinking the same thing after that match. Like, where do we go from here? You know, where are we? Who are we? And was glad to see the turnaround after that. And we'll get to that a second. But Holly, what did you think? What were your takeaways from the match?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with James there. It does feel like a long time ago. And I think we've progressed since then. But going back to the game itself, one of the things I thought was, you know, we looked very stable. I thought we contained them quite well. They had a ridiculous amount of corners in the first sort of 20 minutes, like five or six. They had that amazing sort of fizzing ball from, McNair, that was kind of like their deadliest weapon. But yeah, I thought we were pretty stable. But at that point, I kind of felt like, which has kind of been similar to most of the games this season, in that, you know, when we go forward, there's just no kind of end product and a lack of understanding and awareness between, you know, our creative players a lot of the time, which I think has improved in the last couple of games, which obviously we'll come to. But I think it was just kind of that final decision. But I was fairly happy with the first half. And I think the fact that we managed to stop Samba Longa scoring the 33rd minute. He's not destined to score against us, is he? Bless him. Thank God. When Yates put him in, you know, through on goal, heart in mouth kind of time. But yeah, I think it was a fairly stable first half. I think both teams weren't particularly great, to be honest. Sort of cancelled each other out. And obviously they got it was a well-taken goal in the second half. But lots to improve on after that game.
Yeah, one of the debates that I saw going online, and I was really struggling a bit to see where I fit into that debate was, you know, a lot of people like to define a team as a first half or second half team, right? Where do we shine? Do we usually come on late, or are we, you know, do we come out of the gate charging? And in this match, I didn't get that question answered. But James, what do you think overall before we move on? Would you consider Forest a first half or a second half team? Do we come out charging, or are we kind of late to show up and then turn it on late?
Well, for the majority of this season, both under Lamucci and Houghton, Forest have had to come from behind in lots of matches.
Exactly.
So I think the idea of them being fast starters, I mean, the stats suggest that they're not that. And also another stat that you find since Chris Hughton's been in charge is the amount of late goals Forest have scored. In his first game against Blackburn, it was a late Joe Lolley goal. Against Rotherham, it was a late equaliser. Against Coventry in midweek, it was another late goal. So I think the Forest come on stronger in the second half, and particularly later in games. I don't think that's something Chris Hughton will be that happy about, because, you know, the top teams really come out from the start and make an impression and impose early on. But certainly a team that gets better. And going back to that Middlesbrough game, I think that's probably another point of you know, frustration for Forest fans, is that going 1-0 down, I know it was a late goal with 10 minutes or so to play, Forest didn't really then throw everything at it to get an equaliser, I didn't feel. And considering how strong they are in the last 5-10 minutes of game since Hughton's been in charge, I think it was a bit of a disappointment.
All right, good. So we'll move on to Coventry City, guys. On November 4th, we're able to get ourselves a little bit back on track, right? Bagged a couple of goals against Coventry City, took a 2-1 win. And let's start with you, Holly. What were your takes from that game?
First and foremost, I was really pleased to see Ribeiro come back in at left back. I'll give Bong his props. Just going back to the previous game, I thought he did all right, actually. I thought he's been given a hell of a lot of abuse since that game against Luton last season. I was actually there, and he wasn't that great. Not to kind of, you know, go on about it, but I'm really pleased that Ribeiro's come back into the squad and kind of dispelled all those sort of rumours that were going around about him being frozen out and all that kind of thing. And I thought he did really well. I think he's got a lot of tenacity, a lot of drive and a lot of desire. He's still slightly off the pace, I think, purely through not playing games. But I was, as I say, really, really pleased for Ribeiro. I thought we passed the ball a lot crisper in the first half. We seemed a lot more in control. But there was a lot of slipping and sliding, wasn't there? I know
there's a lot of falling, yeah.
Falling all over the place and a lot of hitting balls and them smacking players in the face. Yeah. I don't know what all that was about.
Yeah, I think at one time Taylor like showed his frustration right on one of his slips. He like kind of banged the pitch, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. What is going on? I mean, I know where Clough used to overly water the pitch, didn't he, to put the opposition off? But I'm not sure whether that actually happened that night. But well, obviously not through Clough anyway. But yeah, it was a complete game of two halves, wasn't it? I mean, coming out for the second half, you know, we were massively sluggish.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed that. I was really taken a little bit. I think this is the first time I saw Taylor take a penalty kick, and that kind of gunslinger swagger he did up to the penalty kick, you know, that works, I think, really well. That's kind of cool if you make the goal, but if you miss the goal with that kind of walk-up thing, I don't know how that plays back. What did you think about the game, Jace? How'd that come out for you?
Well, on the subject of that penalty, for a second, what you're saying about Taylor's approach, I mean, yeah. It's something that he's done throughout his career at Charlton. He took penalties like that, so he's clearly got real confidence. But you're right in exactly what you say, Wes, in that it looks brilliant if it comes off. In the Premier League yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but Ademola Lookman in the last minute had a penalty for Fulham, and he tried to chip the goalkeeper, but it was a simple save for Fabianski. So when you approach it confidently, you have to score, or else you look like an idiot, really, at the end of the game. So Lyle Taylor's a lot braver than I would be to stepping up with a penalty like that, but fair play to him for taking it away. I think Holly's, you know, nailed it there, essentially, with the way that the game went. Forest were quite good in the first half. Obviously, really pleased that Scott McKenna got his first goal for the club, because I think he's been really good recently. I think one of the best aspects since Houghton has came in has been the partnership between him and Figueiredo at centre-back. It looks really strong and stable. Then in the second half, Coventry really came out on top. And this was a team that the previous week had just beaten the league leaders in Reading. And I've kind of developed a bit of a reputation under Mark Robbins of being an attacking side that create chances. And in that second half, I mean, Samba made some good saves, and yeah, there were a couple of real near misses, and Forrest were hanging on. But on the penalty, which comes in injury time, it's a brilliant run by Taylor, you know, to win that penalty.
And yeah, it was.
We saw with his second goal yesterday that he has the ability to carry the ball, you know, and take Forrest up the pitch to you know, into the final third. And again, you know, he does that against Coventry in added time, wins the penalty, and that's just a huge win for Forrest. And you know, the victory yesterday means, you know, 6 points out of a possible nine over the course of the week. It's a brilliant return, and now going into the international break, they've got a real kind of springboard and a bit of confidence that fingers crossed they can build from.
Yeah, and go on, Hal. I'm sorry.
Now, I was going to say, I kind of felt like Lyle was sort of waiting for that moment, and it really invigorated him, and it gave him, he was just, the way he took the ball, he put it down and then had kind of the face off with the goalkeeper beforehand and all of that kind of, and his swagger walking up, he just filled him with feel the confidence just shining off him. And when it went in, and I don't know whether you guys noticed on a bit of a side note, but as he sort of turns away to go and celebrate and everyone jumps on top of him, you get Yates coming one way and Ribeiro coming the other, and they jump up and completely nut each other. And you can tell he came off worse on that one as well. You've got Yates, obviously hard as nails, just walks off. And then you can see Ribeiro kind of going a bit like this. But just going back to the point with Lyle Taylor, I just feel like it really ignited him. And then obviously, as we know, the following game, he was just absolutely full of confidence. Yeah. So it was brilliant to see, actually.
Yeah, it was interesting, because if you watch closely, there was a lot of talk going on between Taylor and Coventry's keeper. I don't know if he was a little bit pissed off that Taylor, maybe he felt like he was diving, you know, for that penalty. I don't know what precipitated that, but I do know there was a lot of talk between those two, like before, right before that penalty and then a little bit after. So I would have loved to see what that exchange was about. Did you guys catch that, the kind of exchange between those two?
Yeah, I think the goalkeeper, I think it's Morosi is the name that the
Morosi, coach, yeah.
Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but yeah, I think he was unhappy with the award of the penalty and felt that
they had gone
down a little bit too easily. My argument back to that is the Coventry defender, you know, made Taylor go down essentially, and that he shouldn't go anywhere near him in a position like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you're forcing the referee's hand there essentially, and yeah, it's good. But you know, one thing I think that was questioned about Forest at the end of last season with the kind of dip in form is, and it's always thrown at a team when they're losing form, is that there's no characters, there's no leaders, there's no bite about them. Just look at that penalty incident. I think sums up what Forest, you know, had been missing for such a long period of time now. Someone with real composure in the big minutes, someone with a confidence and an arrogance and a belief in his own ability, and also someone who's not, you know, not afraid to give it back as well, not afraid to put other people in the place. So I think it was a great exchange, and it for me further kind of increased my confidence that Taylor's going to be the guy to lead Forest forward, that he's got the ability, he's got the know-how, but he's also got the bite, and that's what you need in the Championship to be a really effective striker.
Yeah, you felt it was just a matter of time, really, before he sort of clicked.
Yeah,
I totally agree. And I think leadership is one of the things that we've kind of lacked for a while. You know, I know Graben was probably having some issues with confidence and, you know, with his mental state. So I don't think he was really stepping into that leadership role. I think this would be a vital piece of us moving forward, right? Having somebody with that kind of go-to mentality, the person that kind of takes the team on his back. And I think Taylor's stepping into that role. What do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially with penalty kicks,
yeah.
Lewis Graben hasn't had the best record in recent times, let's face it. And obviously with his kind of dipping confidence, we really want someone to kind of, you know, grab the game and sort of go, no, I'm taking it. I'm going to score. Yeah, I'm going to create. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do something different. I've got the balls to do it kind of thing. And he's a real character as well. He speaks really well after games. You know, you just have a real belief in him. There's just a star quality, I think. This will come a bit more prevalent in the next game that we talk about, but there's a kind of a Collymore-esque about him, I feel. Mm. The confidence and the drive and just the raw skill as well. And I think, yeah, that's definitely something we've been missing for a long time.
Is that a thing we'll use from now on, Holly? Collymore-esque? If somebody has that swag, I like that.
Man, I'm happy for you to use that.
That's right. All right, Forest fans, we got a new word. If somebody has that swagger and that go-to, he's Collymore-esque.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, well, good. Well, let's move on, guys, to our most recent game against Wickham, where Lyle grabbed himself a brace for that one, right? I think in the 28th or so minute, about the 74th minute, if my notes are correct here. Really, really glad to see Forrest coming on. One of the things that struck me in this game, and this guy, I never had the chance to see Wickham play before, I don't think, not that I remember, but there was a guy that came on, and I immediately went to Twitter and I said something like, who is this enforcer that Wickham is bringing onto the pitch? And I don't want to mispronounce his name, and maybe you guys can help me. I think it was something along the lines of
Akinfenwa, yeah.
Akinfenwa, thank you, man. That beast of a guy came onto the pitch. And that was kind of one of the lighthearted moments for me, just to see that guy who is a tank coming out onto the pitch. Before we get into like our thoughts about the results of that game, have you guys ever seen this guy play? Do you know anything about him, this Akinfenwa guy?
He's got a bit of a reputation as someone with really good – well, he's probably a little bit more famous for his stats on FIFA more than his –
brilliant.
20 in terms of strength on FIFA has meant he's quite a popular player over the years. But you know, on a like serious point, he's been knocking around the Football League for years. He was at Wimbledon before he went to Wickham, and you know, he's kind of laughed at quite a lot because of his frame. It doesn't look like a typical footballer,
right?
But for Wickham, he's actually been really, really like integral to their success over the last 18 months or so. And you know, we spoke to a Wickham fan before the game yesterday, and he said that Akinfenwa is the key reason why they've been in such good form, because his hold-up play, centre-backs don't know how to cope with him, really. And I think it was the fact that he started in midweek against Birmingham, which meant he didn't start the game on Saturday. He came off the bench. But, you know, he does make an impact. He does. He's a nuisance, and he gets amongst, you know, centre-backs and wins flick-ons and makes it difficult for teams. He might not be the most prolific goal scorer, but you certainly notice him when he gets on the field, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way to, you definitely notice him when he comes on. Yeah. Oh, good. So moving on to the Forest side, to our side of the pitch, then I thought we were in great form on this. And once again, I think we saw Lyle Taylor kind of coming into his own, taking the leadership on this team, like we mentioned a second ago. Really pleased. I think one of the things that really was good about this game is going into the break. And I think, James, you mentioned this a minute ago, you know, having that confidence and that momentum going into the break with a couple of wins under your belt. But in this one, a clean sheet, which I think is a great kind of momentum factor as well, something to build on. I love to see the optimism amongst, you know, the Twitter followers, which you guys know how the climate on Twitter can change in a heartbeat. So right now we're all optimistic and high-fiving each other. And so it's great all around. And so I was pleased, of course, to bag a win, but more so just with kind of the way the team is developing, and I'm starting to build my confidence in Houghton now. So real interested to hear, Holly, what you thought of this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you said about Twitter there. So I think someone put after the game, guys, we beat Wickham, not Barcelona. But
well, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Right now, yeah, but I think it's all about kind of the progression that we've made. I think that we started with real intent in this game. We seemed a lot more confident. There seemed to be a bit more awareness. Yeah, on paper, it was a game we should have won. But, you know, Wickham have done all right. You know, they've not done badly. And as you say, I think it was on sort of towards the end of... just after the second half when Akinfenwa and Gareth McCleary came on. And I genuinely felt quite nervy. Gareth McCleary, who obviously used to play for us many moons ago and very, very pacey winger with lots of ability, obviously sort of in the twilight of his years as a footballer, but, you know, he can still turn a game, still has a lot to do. And obviously Akinfenwa, you know, what can we say about that guy? I was genuinely nervy when they came on. And I think towards the end, it was a little bit of squeaky bum. But yeah, I think we made a massive progression. Again, I think Lyle Taylor's confidence really showed the link between himself and Christie as well, the ball he put in at the back post. It was very deft as well. It kind of hung in the air and it was perfect height for him and just nodded it home. And the second goal was, well, it was absolute class, really. And I kind of got that feeling when he picked up the ball, because I think originally there was him and Knockhart, wasn't there? And mm-hmm. he was meant to be just neatly passing it to Knockhart. And I think it hit one of the Wickham players and sort of mm-hmm. bounced kindly. And then he was like, right, I'm on my bike. Collymore-esque again, and just ran at defenders and put the ball home. And I in my stomach, I was feeling he's going to score here. He's just going to go for it. He's full of confidence. He just really fancies himself. And yeah, it's a really well taken goal, and we're 2-0 and pretty much home and dry. And it's just a massive relief, to be honest, to get another win. A game which I feel like, yeah, we did need to win. And I think it was a real marker, the Coventry game and the Wickham game, two highly winnable games, points on the board. Not massively moved up the table, but we're closing the gap on the top, moving further away from Derby. So, you know, it's looking quite bright.
Yeah, and on that point, the other wonderful thing was Derby lost over the weekend as well. So, I mean, as for me, I had a pretty much of a trifecta weekend. The elections came in, Forest won and Derby lost. I mean, I can't ask for more than that over a weekend. But one of the things that stuck out, not only about Taylor, but guys, I love, and I say this ad nauseum, I think, I just love to watch Emi Obi play, right? I love the, he has this really ungraceful, like, kind of almost lumbering way of running around the pitch. And when he got subbed off, he actually walks like his ankles or something are hurting. I don't know. But it's just so much fun to watch him play because he definitely gives, you know, he gives it all. He leaves it all on the pitch. And I thought, you know, he had a really good run until he was subbed off, just all over. I thought his work rate was really, really good. So he was one of my high spots for the game as well. But, James, interested to hear what you thought. I agree with Holly in that this is a game we should have won on paper. And I think I was shooting for kind of looking past whether we'd win or lose and actually shooting for a clean sheet, which we got, and was happy to see that. But, again, want to hear what you think, James.
Well, I think it had a real potential of being a massive banana skin for Forest because Wickham go into the game on the back of a three-match unbeaten run. They'd just beaten Birmingham away, who are obviously managed by Ita Karanka, former Forest boss. So they're well organised. They've got ambitions of being in the playoffs. So that was a brilliant win for them. And they were really, really confident going into it. And Forest in the past have struggled, even you know as recently as last season, to deal with teams coming to the City Ground who there's an expectation on Forest to beat and the Reds just don't perform. So it was really, like Holly says, a massive relief to get the win. In terms of the way, you know, the performance itself, I thought, yeah, the Forest started off really well and, you know, there were real pockets of quality here and then. Wickham did come back into it in the second half when Akinfenwa and McCleary came on, and from set pieces, that they're always a worry. Which I think, you know, your point about the set piece, Wes, about the clean sheet, sorry, Wes, it's emphasised, you know, how strong and effective Forest looked at set pieces is really reassuring going forward and shows what Chris Hughton has done to the defence since he's been at the club. But I think as well, on the subject of Taylor, he's a much better striker than I probably thought he was going to be. In the sense that second goal, I thought when Forrest signed him, they were getting a fox in the box, someone who only really scored kind of tap-ins and you know was a penalty box merchant essentially. Just got himself in the right place at the right time. Bit of good hold-up play here and then, but he was a goal scorer. He's much more than that. That second goal is as good as you're going to see in the Championship all weekend. Really, it's a brilliant strike. The confidence you can tell is just flowing. At the minute. And your comment was about Emi Obi. I agree. I thought he showed real glimpses of quality yesterday. But the idea of him being a fun player to watch, Forest have got loads of fun players to watch. And the hope now is that Hughton can get the best out of them and we can see them express themselves. Because you think of an attack consisting of Lyle Taylor, Sammy Emi Obi, Joe Lolly, Anthony Knockhart, Luke Freeman, for example. There's some best attacking players probably in the Championship, and if he can get them all singing from the same hymn sheet with that defensive solidity that we've seen throughout his time at the club so far, particularly yesterday, then who knows what Forrest can do.
Yeah, great point. And to your point, I was early on really excited about that Freeman and Mike combination, man. And you're absolutely right. There is just so we have so much talent, so many players that have the potential of being fun to watch. I think it's going to be interesting watching the season unfold now, especially now that we've got a glimmer of hope, and hopefully that will continue. All right, guys. So, and one thing I forgot. Let me back up. I won't go all the way back. Mark will usually, and forgive me because I am filling some very large shoes here. I neglected to ask your man of the match. And since I didn't get the first two, why don't we just go to the very last one, to the Wickham game. And James, with you, who's your man of the match for Wickham since I neglected the other two?
It has to be Lyle Taylor.
Yeah.
Brilliant header for the first goal. Got himself in the right place at the right time. And it's, like I say, an unbelievable goal for the second. So I don't think you can really look past him.
Yeah. Holly, what do you think? You second that or you got another pick?
I think it's very hard to disagree, isn't it? He was he was all over the place. He was not all over the place, but he was all over the pitch. He was, you know, I'd say confident, two brilliantly taken goals. You can't really give it to anybody else, but a bit of a shout out to Guerrero as well. I thought he played really well. I thought he worked really hard. There was a ball, I can't quite remember what it was in the game, but he pinged a ball over to the left-hand side for Lyle Taylor that was beautiful. And his hold-up play was fantastic, so I would give him a bit of a nod as well.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Guerrero picked up a booking in the match as well, if I remember correctly. I may be wrong about that, but yeah, I think I will have to make it a unanimous decision then, guys. I think Taylor was undoubtedly the man for this guy, just for if nothing else than what we said earlier, for putting the team on his back and being that and stepping up into that leadership role. He definitely gets my vote for the man of match for this one. All right, so with that said, let's move on to our next. And, of course, we got a bit of a break now because our next match got two away matches coming up, one at Barnsley followed by one at Bournemouth. Bob, the Barnsley game is November 21st, followed by Bournemouth on November 24th. And who knows what happens, you know, a couple of weeks now in the future, how things are going to shape up, how things and you know, what formations we're going to come out with, that type of thing. But I do want to hear what you guys kind of think about after we got some time maybe to rest and reflect, how we come out in the Barnsley game to start off with. James, I'll get your predictions on the outcome of the match at the end of this, but what do you think looking ahead, Houghton thinks, what do you think his strategy, maybe his tactic, what do you think his mindset is going into the Barnsley game on the 21st?
Well, you're right in saying they've got a bit of a break now after the international break, and it's nice that Forest go into an international break with a little bit of confidence, because the last international break was after Forest lost to Bristol City, and then on the Monday, Sabri Lamouchi loses his job, and there was, you know, Chris Hughton comes in, so there was a bit of instability in that break, and Forest didn't really have the opportunity to refresh. So I think this gives them a real chance to not only recuperate and freshen up a little bit, but also to work on a couple of things that have been missing in the performances so far this season. For me, one aspect that Forest have got to get better at is control of games, in the sense that Forest at the minute, and I think it's understandable because it's a new manager and it's new players, but they kind of play in phases, and there are certain pockets of a game where they're really on top, and then there are others where the opposition really start to dominate. So I think if they can establish a little bit more control over the course of this international break, that'll be a great thing. The Barnsley game, I mean, Forest have already lost to Barnsley this season in the League Cup right at the start of the season. It's a very different Forest going into that one now, but that will probably play on their mind. And Barnsley, incidentally, were the team that sent Derby to the bottom of the table yesterday because they won at Pride Park. So it'd be a difficult game, but I think, again, like kind of we've said about that Wickham game and the Coventry game before that, they were matches that Forest were expected to win and they won. I think if Forest have got any beliefs in doing anything this season, away at Barnsley is another game that you should win. And I think they'll be buoyed by their recent performances and recent results. And I wouldn't put it past Forest making it three wins out of three.
Brilliant. Holly, anything going into the Barnsley games, especially since we have this break, anything specific you would like to see the team work on?
I think it's just kind of building on what we've already seen. I think players are becoming a bit more aware of each other. I thought the link-up play between Ribeiro and Amiibi was quite good yesterday. And it's just about consistency as well. You know, either we start a game well or we end it badly. We start it badly or end it well. Just to have a full 90 minutes of consistency would be really, really good. And like James said, just having a bit more control. Just have a positive momentum, I think. Because I think all the problems that we've had this season, for my opinion, is purely about mentality, really. I think this hangover that we've had from last season has been there. It's been like a ghost. It's been like a black cloud over us. And I think we're slowly starting to get rid of that now. and just to kind of take rest, recoup, and just take that mentality into the positive mentality into the Bosnia game, which I agree is a completely winnable game. Getting 3 points, you know, moving on, fantastic. Bournemouth's going to prove to be a little bit more tricky.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that the home and away advantage is particularly prevalent anymore, to be honest with you. I'd say we're as good at home as we are away so far, anyway, in the last few games. But it's, I think that's going to be a very tricky game for us. But let's see. I think it depends on how we come out against Barnsley. Decent win away to Barnsley, and who knows?
Yeah, I'm like you. I like to see the cloud continue to lift. If I said anything specific, I would like to see us continue to build on our attack, right? You know, there was so much talk early on about whether we were going to be a defensive-minded team. I think Lamouche used something like posturing or some word he used to kind of signal like more defense-minded. But I would like to see, and I think everybody likes that, you know, run and gun type of football, but I definitely would like us to see us work on our attack, you know, go on the offense and kind of get some shots on, right? Just to loosen that game up some and get the opposition backpedaling a little bit. So hopefully we'll see some attacking coming out of the break. So let's do this then, guys. Let's talk about specifically for both Barnsley and Bournemouth. Let's start with Barnsley, your actual score predictions for the game. James, let's start with you. What do you give? What's your prediction for the result of that game? Well, Barnsley and us away on the 21st.
I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be difficult because Barnsley are a good team, but I think Forest will edge it 2-1.
2-1, all right. Holly, what do you say? We've got 2-1 so far. What say you, Holly?
Again, I think it's going to be a difficult one, but I think there'll be a late goal for Forest, a 1-0 away win, I reckon.
So we got 2-1, 1-0. I am going to side with Holly on this 1-0, a late away, I think a late goal as well. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and give it to my man Amiobi, right? I'm going to give it to him like from just like the top of the box to slam one in. Fingers crossed. We'll see how that goes, though. All right. So we got Holly and myself 1-0 and James 2-1 for Barnsley. Holly, let's start with you. What are your goal predictions for Bournemouth?
Yeah, I think, as I said before, this depends on our showing against Barnsley and how confident we come into the game. But it's going to be a tricky one. I'm going to go for a 1-1 here.
Oh, all right. Going for a draw for Holly. How about you, James?
I'm going to say, I also think it's going to be a draw. I just think there'll be a few more goals in it because Bournemouth this season, they've been quite an attacking side, but they've always, you know, got a defensive mistake in them. But I do think I do think Forest will score. I think they'll find it difficult to nullify Bournemouth's attack. I'm going to go for 2-2.
2-2. Interesting. I as well think I'm thinking draw for this one, but I'm going to go with Holly with this one more time. Holly, you and I ride or die this on this episode. I'm going to go 1-1 for it, but I think a draw as well, a 1-1 draw. I think Forest scores early, and I think that, and Holly, you uses that term bum squeaker, right? So in the last minute, I think they equalize and Twitter goes wild. So we'll wait on those results and hopefully I get to chat with you guys again about that. Well, guys, it has been my absolute pleasure to try and feel Mark's shoes. Like I said, he has some awfully large shoes to feel. But I think we made it through, and I certainly have enjoyed talking to you. On a personal note, it is really wild for me. It's mind-boggling for me to think that several years ago, somebody mixed me up on Twitter, you know, and today I'm getting to host a podcast with you guys. You just never, ever know. But I certainly consider it an honor to be here and to talk with you guys. Thank you for your time and for holding me up. I'll tell you what, let's have some closing thoughts. James, I'll give you a chance for your closing thoughts and final words.
Yeah, I just think it's been a really good week for Forest. Obviously, we're all disappointed by the Middlesbrough game, but then the last two results have been brilliant. There's a real confidence now. I think Chris Hughton, it feels like he's at home now. Partnerships are starting to build. Confidence is starting to come back. And, you know, I don't want to go over the top and say, oh, Forest are going to get in the top six now. They're going to go on a mad run of results and achieve promotion. But give it, you know, 3-5 more games or so if Forest can continue picking up wins. And who knows, this league is open. There's constantly changes in the top six and above that. No one has really stamped their authority yet on the division. So there are opportunities for Forest, and fingers crossed, as we head towards Christmas, the Reds can take them.
Brilliant. And Holly, how about you? What's your closing thoughts for this episode of Forest Fancast?
I just wanted to say you've done a sterling job, Wes. Well
thank
done.
You.
As you say, big shoes to fill, but Mark might have something to worry about.
I sincerely doubt that, but it has been an absolute pleasure. All right,
first
guys.
Of many, first of many.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both for your time again. All right, guys, so we'll wrap it. And as always, we'll give our shout out. So 3, 2, 1. All right, guys. See you next time. Thank you, everybody. Holy crap, we did it, guys.